The San Antonio Spurs and the New Jersey Nets meet tonight in Texas in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Both teams are convinced this is their year since the three-time champion Los Angeles Lakers were eliminated weeks ago. Commentator John Feinstein joins me now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob.
This is like the ABA, New Jersey and San Antonio.
Well, very good point. Two of the four ex-ABA teams playing in the finals, and both intriguing stories in their own way. The Nets were the stepchild of New York and of the NBA for many years, playing in their arena right next to the New Jersey Turnpike, where you have to have great patience and easy pass in order to find your way there. And in the last 2 years have finally, 6 years after trading Julius Erving and being awful for the next 26 years, have emerged as a power in the NBA, largely because they brought in an aggressive young coach 3 years ago, Byron Scott, who played for the championship Laker teams in the 80s, and then made the key trade in the history of the franchise, getting Jason Kidd in as their point guard 2 years ago, a guy who makes everyone else on the team better.
You want to talk about the Spurs, John?
Well, the Spurs, of course, won the NBA title in 1999, and they were led then by Tim Duncan and David Robinson, and they still have essentially the same nucleus from that team, although they've added a very young point guard, Tony Parker, since then from Europe. But it's essentially the same nucleus that won the title in 99, and Tim Duncan has emerged as, I think, the best and most versatile player in the NBA. He's a two-time MVP now. And he, everything that the Spurs do starts with Tim Duncan. But they do have very good players around him. The only question about the Spurs throughout these playoffs has been their toughness, because they've blown some big leads in games and lost games that they appeared to have won, although in the last game of the conference finals, they came from way behind to win and get into the championship.
And it wasn't Tim Duncan who saved them.
No, it wasn't. It was Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr is one of the great stories in the history of basketball. People have been trying to retire him, Bob, since he was a senior in high school. No one offered him a scholarship when he was a high school senior. He finally, Lute Olson, who had just gotten to Arizona, took a chance on him because he saw him shoot playing in an L.A. Summer League game, thought he was a pretty good shooter. He ends up becoming a star at Arizona, came back from knee surgery that was supposed to end his career. Thought he would be a high school coach when he graduated from Arizona in 1988, and he's now played in the NBA for 15 years and been on four championship teams, three with the Bulls and one with the San Antonio Spurs. He told me earlier this year, this is it, this is his last go-around, I'll believe it when I see it.
You'd like to talk about a retirement that has nothing to do with Michael Jordan.
And a retirement that deserves more attention than it's gotten. David Robinson, another great NBA story, a guy who came out of the Naval Academy, who was 6'7" as a high school senior and was recruited by Navy, Bob, because they thought he had great potential as an engineer, not as a basketball player. Ends up, of course, growing to 7'1", becomes the National Player of the Year. He's been an MVP also, one of the 50 greatest players of all time on the all-time NBA team, and he is going to retire after this series. And nothing would be better than to see David Robinson go out with a second championship ring, because as a person, he's been a champion for years.
Thank you, John.
Goodbye, Bob.
The comments of John Feinstein, whose new book is Open, Inside the Ropes at Bethpage Black, the story of the first U.S. Open played at a true public golf course.